Hi, everybody. Welcome to our second webinar. This is Michael Robbins, and I think probably most of you know me and Tuya, my wife, and Olivia Hansen. We've started this particular version of the worldwide Glamour Initiative, which so many groups are undertaking. Combating through understanding and through specific occult techniques the glamour which has been gripping the world for a long time and is now peculiarly dangerous. So we're doing our best to work with deeply understanding this process. Of course, we're beginning with the individual glamour work first. We know that it's a somewhat dangerous pursuit if we ourselves are filled with glamour, and until the third initiation is passed, I think we can honestly say that all of us have some issue with it. And it's probably unsuspected, because usually a person cannot so well see his or her glamours, it takes other people to point them out. Now, we don't have Master DK writing us specific letters to us individually, so we'll have to do the best we can to detect the glamours that are affecting us. And oftentimes they are ray glamours. We have here sort of a list. I guess there's a list of from page 120, 121 in Glamour World Problem. I sent this out to most of you, I think. The different ray glamours, and it goes down there for each ray and so forth. It's very, very interesting. But he says that the name of these glamours is Legion, meaning there's more than we can possibly count. So perhaps we'll discover something here that relates to our personality ray, to our mental ray, maybe even to our soul ray, as it's certainly possible that the personality can sort of apprehend, can sort of grab a particular energy that's coming from the soul and distort it into a glamour, And we have to try to understand really what is glamour. And of course, he's written an entire book about that for a group of nine people who were supposed to be part of the what's called the Trained Observers seed group. And when there is a seeming reality that is not a reality, usually because it's very partial, it is rather self-centered, it is distorted by one's own lower ego. And when your desires or my desires, or when we get activated and we begin to really desire that particular seeming reality, when we begin to love it and wish to express it, and our emotions are all involved in it, then we're going to have a glamour. But as I say, these things are difficult to detect. All we know is we can look at the world situation and see how myopic are the views of so many millions and even billions of people. And we want to do something of an esoterically, spiritually occult nature that can help combat that difficulty, especially at a time when humanity is making so many really important decisions. Well, there are a nice group of us here together, maybe almost 60 of us, and we'll be offering this every week. I'll be sending out to you the if we do webinars every Friday. Excuse me, I still have a little bit of the flu here. Then I'll be sending out the links to you. And we do have, however, in the chat box, excuse me, a notification of our broadcasts. Our broadcasts take place Wednesday, Thursday, sometimes Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and they are on a variety of subjects. So we have used one address to make it convenient for you. Last night we began with the reappearance of the Christ meditation. Tomorrow night we'll be resuming our invocation of the souls of nations. Every Saturday that will be done, and we may also switch to another day. But anyway, we'll be working with Bangladesh tomorrow evening, at least here at GMT. It is an impoverished country and has a considerable population and has very much to overcome. We'll work with that, and then on Sunday we'll have the reappearance of the invoking money for hierarchical purposes meditation. And every Wednesday we will have a triangles meditation, which is a very important method at this time, because, you know, on our way to becoming a sacred planet, which will take a fair bit of time, but our etheric network of squares, the Tibetan tells us, has to be transformed into an etheric network of triangles. So we're doing what we can to participate in that transformation. Now, in these webinars, you know, broadcasts you cannot respond, but in webinar you can. And what we'll have is a little bit of reading from Master DK before we actually begin the process of the triangles meditation, the glamour meditation. So many things going on. Okay, so, you know, while it may take a little longer in the present form, it is true that that once we're really familiar with the subject and with the meditation, we can do it within approximately 15 minutes and even less. Excuse me. So if you want to use this meditation more often, and you become quite familiar with it, then you will be able to do this in a span of time which is, I would say, economical to your daily schedule. My wife just brought me a little water here. I'm sorry for the kind of interruption. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, you know, so occasionally we all get colds, and there we are. Now, I would like to read something, and then maybe we discuss it just a little bit anyway, from The Dissipation of Group Glamour and World Glamour. We're not really on that subject yet, but he does say some interesting things about the tendencies toward glamour of the different ray types. So you may recognize yourself in some of these, or maybe not at all, but it's interesting to discuss, and let's just see what we think about this as a group. We won't take a really long time discussing it because, you know, the meditation is coming as well. But here we go. This is from page 221. Group work in dissipating world glamour must be handled, as will be obvious to you, by those who are working at the dissipation of glamour in their own lives. Now that's us at the moment. That's who we are. And have learnt to use the formula just given. And, you know, because he's just dealt with individual glamour, and that's where we all have to start. The majority of those so working are sixth ray aspirants. That can mean their soul ray is the sixth ray, or their personality ray is the sixth ray, or they have a very strong sixth ray astral body. Very interesting, in the group of nine that the Tibetan had working on the, or preparing to work on the dissipation of world glamour, they all had a strong sixth ray. They had to. It put them on rapport with the astral plane where this work has to be done from the mental perspective. Even a man who was a first-ray soul with a fifth-ray personality and a fifth-ray mind, he had a powerful sixth-ray astral body, so that's what put him on rapport with the general sixth-ray of the group. So anyway, the majority of those so working are sixth-ray aspirants, those who have sixth-ray personality, or whose soul ray is the sixth, plus those, plus those on all rays who have powerful six-ray astral vehicles. These make the most effective workers in the group, but are subject to one major difficulty. In spite of aspiration and good intention, they are seldom aware of the glamours which control them. And of course, this was interesting because this particular group of nine people, two of them fell victim to the thought form of Master DK and had the glamour that they were communicating with that particular thought form, with him, when it was really the thought form they were communicating with, and it really disturbed their vehicles such that repair work over a long period of time had to be accomplished. So they're seldom aware of their glamours which control them. It's exceedingly hard to induce the six-ray aspirant to admit that he is held by a glamour, particularly when it is a glamour of spiritual connotation and of a very high order. And so we see the higher we go on the astral plane, the higher the glamour can be, and the less likely it is to be recognized because it seems like such a spiritual activity. In their case, the glamour is enhanced by the energy of devotion, which stiffens it and brings in a quality which makes it most difficult to penetrate. Their complete assurance, that's the six-ray thing, right? Their complete assurance proves a serious obstacle to clear-sighted work, because that has all to go before the work of dissipation can be carried forward successfully. Well, that's what he has to say about the six-ray. I'll continue reading here because, you know, as I say, we only have so much time. We could stop and discuss this for a long time. But what I'm going to suggest is that you get out your book, Glamour, A World Problem, or that you study it on your CD-ROM if you have the CD-ROM. And I want to say, you know, I hope you're fortunate enough to have that CD-ROM because it's a wonderful study tool. So I'm going to suggest that you do some reading, maybe reread the book, or if you haven't read it, read it, because that will be very important. So this is what he says about the six-ray. Okay, now we go on as soon as I find it. Okay, here. First-ray people. Here we are. First-ray people can overcome glamour with relative ease once they become aware of it as a personality limitation. They have a certain power of detachment, and this does not mean that DK does not list quite a number of glamours of those who are on the first ray. It's just they have a certain detachment from their personality, and they know how to eliminate the personality glamours. What about the glamours that come from the soul? That's another matter. Third-ray people, you see, it's largely a six-ray, third-ray problem, and we have that in the world today. We have so much financial manipulation, and we have so much errant and unwise devotion in the religious people of the world, devoted to things which hardly exist at all. So we have a real third-ray, six-ray problem in the glamorous scene of the world today. Third-ray people are as susceptible to it as those on the sixth-ray. And their devious, twisting, planning minds, and the rapidity with which they can deceive themselves and often seek to deceive others greatly hinders their work of clearing away glamour. See, it's about observation. It's about clear seeing. And we know that the third ray is a ray that is given to the veiling of various subjects out of fear or out of seeking advantage, various reasons for the veiling. Their pronounced tendency to be the victims of glamour is evidenced by the inability of the third ray aspirant and disciple to convey his meaning clearly by speech. This is very interesting now. He has guarded himself for many lives by devious formulations of thought and of ideas and can seldom convey his meaning clearly. And this is why six-ray people and third-ray people almost inevitably prove themselves unable to teach. I wasn't happy when I read that, having a lot of the third-ray myself, but I thought it was interesting, you know. Both these groups must, therefore, learn to use this formula, and that's the one we're going to use, and they would greatly hasten the process of dissipation if they would force themselves to speak or write their thoughts clearly, if they would never be ambiguous or deal in half-thoughts, innuendo, or suggestion. They should clearly enunciate the ideas with which they may be dealing. Now, let's see, there's a little bit more here. I think that will be... Well, I'll tell you what, let's just see. Maybe this is all we'll go through this time, and we'll continue more with the seventh ray and fifth ray types and also the fourth ray types. Now remember, it's your soul ray that's at work here, or your personality ray, or maybe a powerful mental ray, or the astral body when it comes to the sixth ray. All right, given what has been said about this, is there anybody, now you know how to raise your hand, don't you? There's a little hand there, and you just put that up. You can either raise your hand if you want to say something, or you can write out in the chat box. Is it chat box or question box? I think it is. A question, and then, let's see, Brett will advise me about that. Brett will advise me whether you have a question, and maybe it can be addressed. So we've looked at here the sixth ray type, which is very involved in this type of work. We've looked at the first ray type, but only very, very briefly. He says pretty well that they can manage to get rid of things, but he does list quite a number of first ray glamours. And then there is the third ray type that unfortunately has a tendency not to be clear about things, at least in the beginning. Later, they're given to the very clear pronunciation of truth, but of course they have to work their way through the forest of error before they can do that. So we've looked at the sixth ray, a little bit about the first ray, and the third ray. Is there anybody that would like to say anything or question anything about what DK has said here? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make these a little... I'm sorry. A little smaller, so that maybe we can, you know, see everything together. Maybe that will... help a little bit. Yeah, I think
Michael, we lost you.
Oh, am I lost? Am I lost?
Now you are not. Now you are okay.
Oh, that's because I had coughed and took my microphone away from my mouth. Sorry. Okay, disadvantage when you're coughing. Okay, so there is the paragraph that we've just looked at. Does anybody have any thought about what DK has said? Anything you'd like to bring up? Any question you would like to bring up? Or Tuya or Olivia, if there's anything you want to add to this, you're most welcome. I'm just going to scan you here. Okay. Now here we have, okay, Lynn Giap. Okay. Okay, let's see if we can hear you. There's a lot of static on the line, but please go ahead. Okay, are you speaking, Lynn? I think you maybe are speaking from Vietnam, possibly. But I don't hear you. Does anybody else hear Lynn? Brett, can you check into it?
No, I don't hear.
Okay. Is anybody, is there a question from him or her? Maybe not. If there is, if we can handle it. Okay, Lynn, we're trying to get in touch with you, but there's a lot of static on the line. We'll try to work that out with our technical people. Okay, is anybody else that has anything to say here yet? Okay, right. Okay, well, maybe then I will be able to, you know what I'd like to do?
Michael, then I have a few things.
Yes, go ahead.
Nobody
else. Okay, yes.
Yes, I would just, this is... that kind of general thing, now thinking about a lot because we started this process, and last time I was just saying for all of us that it would be worthwhile of trying to list and starting to think about one's glamorous, because DK says about that why it is individually difficult is because we don't see them because they are glamorous, and we see only by the effect of them influence.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been really thinking about really a lot about all kinds of things. And when you start to look about those, you realize, oh my gosh, these clamors are really endless. And then I was thinking, wow, there might be also the clamor of being clamored. But nevertheless, the fact is that it is worth a while of honestly sitting with oneself in starting to list some of those things which are repeating in our lives, because we see via the effect of them what is happening. And then maybe take out of them some few of them which are really annoying even ourselves, and start to really concentrate to that and elaborate within oneself honestly, and looking that thing in oneself.
Well, you know, that's why the people in this group, the second C group, are called trained observers. It all begins with observing your own personality from the perspective of being the soul in incarnation. And you're going to see some things in yourself that don't work, that cause difficulty with other people, that prevent truth and love and unity and cooperation. These things that cause separation and fragmentation, and in general, dissonance and disharmony. All these things are likely to have at them some root of glamour. And then, of course, they can sweep you off your feet, and you can become enthused about things for years and years, only to realize that you were chasing after things that had no real value, had no reality to them. As a matter of fact, what I'd like to do, you know, maybe with each one of these discussions that we have, I'd like to mention the glamours of a particular ray. Now, I did this at the... yes, go ahead, Brett.
We have questions.
Oh, we have a question. Okay. All right, before I go on further, yes, go ahead. What is the question,
Celeste, Brett? Says... I have noticed in myself a love of things occult and fascination with what is secret, elitist, and I have tried to teach and find myself misunderstood. I cannot seem to speak clearly, frustrating. I must have the third ray prominent somewhere.
Okay, well, that is a beginning thought that deserves further examination. Also, mental pride can go along with the third ray, and the love of secret and occult things, the glamour of the secret and the mysterious, sometimes goes along with the seventh ray. Now, basically, we begin by taking an inventory of ourselves, and then we begin to see, out of all of these various traits which are contributing to behavior that don't work so well with other people and in our environment, we can begin to list them and see if they add up. It's probably, you know, too soon for someone like myself to say, ah, yes, it's definitely that ray. But when it comes to not being understood, or maybe not using words that other people don't understand, or when it comes to mental pride or any of those kind of things, the third ray can be involved. When it is about the secret and the mysterious, it's often the seventh ray. But further examination will be needed, and, you know, it's going to take a while. It took that group quite a number of years before they began to hit their stride, and then DK, unfortunately, had to discontinue the process because the World War had begun, and he had an idea how to reorganize all of that work. But anyway, it's going to take us some time. So thank you for your thought, and further examination will be required. And we'll
another couple.
Another questions? Okay, go ahead.
Celicia says, if you think about it, is possible to mix and manipulate several ray glamours together? and then it becomes more difficult to unwind them.
Okay, so we have to use the discriminating separative power of the analytical mind to try to figure out, you know, what belongs to what and what is combining to make an even more difficult situation. But let us begin by sort of separating and analyzing, I'm using the fifth ray here, analyzing each thing as it pertains to a particular ray, and then see how their combination may be causing difficulty. But it's a good point you brought up, because a combination of various glamorous tendencies can be even more difficult than something all by itself, because it has the power of several together. Okay, thank you. What else?
Another from Julie. She says, Michael, it's my first time and I love you.
Okay.
Can you expand on the error of communicating with DK's thought form versus his self?
Well, you know, this is a funny thing, Julie. DK had a phrase about what people received from his thought form, and I always thought it was so funny what he said. My thought form will give you something like this: good words of mediocre cheer. Or was it mediocre words of good cheer, or something like that? It was good words of mediocre cheer, or mediocre words of good cheer. In other words, personally, his thought form was making you feel special, important, you know, kind of like you were really the center of things, and the master was just, you know, bending all over himself to try to communicate with you. You know, so immediately you were at the center of everything, which is one of the great causes of glamour, not being able to get off the center of your own stage. In other words, look, here's your field of consciousness. And if you, your personality, are so big in your field of consciousness, you don't see anything else. So you have to shrink down that image of yourself as a lower ego until it becomes practically nothing, and then you can really see how things are. So DK, when he's really talking, as you can see through his letters, he says, okay, let us analyze this. This is a difficulty here. This is what you must do to correct it. He's not making you feel good about your lower self. Occasionally he'll give you a little bit of commendation, okay, you did well there, but usually it's to correct some kind of fault, because he doesn't have much time. He just has to, you know, speak quickly. The fact that a master like him could even write letters like that and take so much time to write letters to individual people was very, very unusual. So he's not going to waste time in patting you on the back and all that kind of thing. And that was the major difference. His thought form was really personal and really made you feel good as a person. And his real nature, as written through the letters, spoke to your soul and helped you live as a soul. I think that's probably what I could say, Julie, about that. Okay. Anything else there, Brett? And let's see, we have, it looks like, is
that's
it?
All for now.
Yeah. Okay, there's something here from John. Excuse me. Okay, John Pluta. Okay. John, hope we can hear you. Go ahead. Okay. Maybe John had some trouble hearing or something. You're on self-mute, John, so we won't hear you if you're on self-mute. There's a green button there, and if you press it, you're going to put yourself on mute. Excuse me. No, you're still on self-mute. Okay, we got to get some of the mechanics of GoToWebinar down. But you're on self-mute now, and if you do want to be heard, and that's for everybody, then you would make sure you're not on self-mute. Okay. Well, if you can get yourself off self-mute and you want to speak, we're happy to hear what you have to say. Okay, and I'm fine with you also writing your questions, and Brett can intercept them. And okay, so let's see how much time we've spent. I do want to just kind of spend a few minutes here on Ray 1 glamours, okay? We'll try to do this for every one of the rays, you know, as we have our instructive webinars. And before long, we'll be getting into the group work. But we have to make sure that we have a foundation in understanding before we can really do the group and world glamour. Otherwise, we're liable to find ourselves susceptible to the very thing that we're trying to ward off. Okay, was there? Okay, we have. Okay, we have several. Okay, so anyway, some Ray 1 glamours. Let's take a look at these. Brett, did you have something to say? Because I thought I heard your. Maybe I
will. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Here we go. Now, why is a glamour a glamour? Like I say, you know, it's often because you don't see straight, you don't see clearly, and it's often because your lower ego is in the way. And somehow, you know what DK said? It's just one of those really, really important things is just take your eyes off your personal self, off your lower self. Take your eyes off your lower self. Well, you know, that's a fantastic piece of advice because when your eyes are on your lower self, it tends to distort the reality around you. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, you can't examine yourself at proper moments and evaluate what's going on, but some people are always looking at their lower self as if it was their real self. And that is an automatically distorting way to behave. And it really doesn't work. So we're going to see that happening a lot here. The glamour of physical strength. Okay. It calls attention to the lower self. It emphasizes the part over the whole. That's another big one. When you emphasize the part over the whole and make the part more important than the whole, which all of us tend to do, then it's not going to work. Something relatively non-essential is exaggerated in importance. Now, notice the word exaggeration. I often, you know, I try to explain glamour to myself in a simple way. It's making things too big or too little. And what usually happens is that the really big things of life are made too small, and the really important things of life, unimportant, are made too big. It's like, you know, you exaggerate or you minimize, you make a mountain out of a molehill, or you dismiss things that are really important and they become insignificant. So the proper sense of proportion under the sign Libra is really important. You have to have perfect poise. Who has that? Okay, maybe a master. Perfect poise, a completed point of view, and divine understanding. If you have those three Libran qualities, then it's very unlikely that you'll be afflicted by glamour. Perfect poise, a completed point of view, and divine understanding. And you know what? Those are the first three requirements for harmlessness. Now, you know, Master DK, Alice Bailey said, or Master DK said, that I have a distaste for glamour. Alice Bailey has a horror of glamour, and that I share that. Apparently, it's a pretty bad thing, and it's caused world wars and terrible situations among humanity. It's causing terrible situations right now. People ardently believe something false, and they're willing to go to the ends of the earth to make these false things happen. You know, imposing and all the rest of it. So we have to have those Libran qualities, you know, perfect poise, a completed point of view, see the big picture, don't put yourself in the center all the time, and divine understanding. Well, where does that come from? Divine understanding is going to come from a higher state of consciousness than our usual. So it's like having a soul-infused mind, being able to see as the soul would see, and one day even being able to see as the monad will see, because that's more really what we are. Anyway, glamour of physical strength, glamour of personal magnetism, I'm the one at the center, how important I am, you know. Again, my eyes are on myself. excuse me. Glamour of self-centeredness and personal potency. Well, you know, when you have that, you don't listen to the soul, you listen to yourself. That's the problem with many first-ray types. They say, I can handle it. Okay, yes, you're sensitive to potency, but it shouldn't be the potency of your own isolated personality. So you exaggerate your own importance, and the soul sees things in perspective. You know, this I can handle it attitude doesn't work for everything. It's if I as a soul can handle it, that's one thing, but the personality has a different idea about handling things. The glamour of the one at the center, that's fundamental for the first ray. And this militates against inclusiveness and unity. And it prevents one from understanding the larger whole. Your eyes are always on the center that you are, and you're forgetting the larger picture. The glamour of selfish personal ambition. The dominant one, the one who dominates over others, you're blinded by your own ambition, blinded, see, and you don't see the true nature or the vital role that others are playing within the improvement of the whole. See, if everybody can't express their will, see, God's will is, you might say, divided among all of the different emanations that we are. Everybody's got a little piece of it. And if I'm the only one who counts, and I'm going to force my will on your will, then I'm going to prevent God's will from being done, because you've got a piece of it, and you don't get to express it, because I'm dominating you. Okay, so that's going to work against the welfare of the whole. Rulership, dictatorship, wide control. I'm at the center. I become, you know, I'm the only one who counts, really. So basically, you are robbing other people of their vitality, of their part of the divine purpose. You are thinking, again, only of yourself and your own power. And you can see how that is a huge distortion, because that's not the truth. You're only, you know, on the chessboard, it's very interesting that the king on the chessboard is virtually powerless unless protected by some of the other figures, you know, the queens, the bishops, the rooks, the knights, and all that kind of thing. So when your eyes are only on your personal self, and you want to control everybody else, and you want to have a very wide say in all that's going on, and you struggle to make... There's some of these rulers, maybe in Africa, I'm trying to think about one guy, he's maybe 90 years old now, I think he's really been president for life, you know. Is this in the welfare of the country, or is it just to preserve the personal power? The glamour of the Messiah complex in the field of politics. I am the one who can solve your problems. I'm the only one who can solve these. Now, this is untrue. It's anti-democratic. It's monarchic. Well, monarchy is legitimate. Monarchy, democracy, and communism. These are three different rays operative, but you cannot force your own will upon the will of everybody else. The value of other people's ideas, of their essence, cannot be ignored. The glamour of selfish destiny, the divine right of kings, personally exacted. If I want it, if I do it, it's right. And there's no bigger picture, and we're not seeing beyond the personality. You just are in the middle of your field of consciousness, and you're looming overly large, and you don't see other things the way it is. The glamour of destruction, it makes you feel powerful. I am because I destroy. But what about the purpose of destruction? It may not be a good purpose at all. It may just be so that you experience your own power. And the glamour of the superimposed will. Well, I skipped one here. Isolation, aloneness. Okay, I have my power. I don't want to touch other people. They might take my power. I don't want to let them touch me. They might take my power. So this is your own satisfaction with your own power. And forget the rest of the people. You ignore the whole, and you're not willing to share. You're not willing to share power. This is distortion. And then the superimposed will, it robs other people of their will. So anyway, we need humility here, an adjusted sense of right proportion. Now that's all I'm going to go into, you know, really about the glamour of the first ray. Some of you may have that. Some of you may recognize that. Some of you may recognize maybe a modification of that. And what we'll try to do as we go through these things is we'll try to give every ray glamour a little bit of a look so you can kind of maybe recognize it in yourself. Now, look, once you know your soul ray, once you know your personality ray or your mental ray, you may be able more quickly to tune in on the glamour that is affecting you, or group of glamours. The other point is that once you know your glamours, you may be able to figure out your ray chart a little bit better, so it works both ways. Okay, are there any comments on this? Any statements, any questions?
Michael. We have one brief comment from Clecia.
Yeah.
She says, Robert Mugabe, Zimbabwe.
Yes, I knew I didn't want to mention him. Yes, it is him. It is he. Yeah, it is that man. And is he almost 90 years old now or something, whatever? You know, obviously, there's a huge fear. What happens if I let go of this authority? That maybe all the people I have wounded or hurt in some way will come after me because I won't be so protected. And that is what happens to the first ray type after they, you know, read about the garden in the Law of Repulse. The garden is destroyed and then later rebuilt on a much better basis. So there is the fear of revenge in the first ray type when they exact their power without thought, well, in an unjustified manner, not for the good of others. So thank you, Clezy. Yes, that was who I had in mind. That's right. Okay, friends, well, we've talked a while, and now it's time for us to get into our meditation. So some of this is meant to be instructive, but of course, the most important part excuse me, is to get into the meditation itself. And, you know, like I say, we can encourage you to do this in the abbreviated form. If you look there around page, page 208 or 210, let's see, I think there is down here at the bottom of it all, yeah, here's the abbreviated form in just 10 steps. So once you know what you're doing, you're in a position, I think, to work with this on a daily or every other daily basis. And this, you know, it's an occult technique, and it will work. It may take some time to do it. DK was saying, look, you've got to work a couple of years here, and you've got to work at it every week. So, you know, let's not prematurely expect results, especially when dealing with the big glamours. But, you know, we can always do something that will improve our condition. All right, so here we go. We will begin. Let's begin first by aligning with that higher part of ourself, which is the soul nature, not the body, not the emotions, and not the lower mind, but on the higher mind level, there is a source of wisdom, of light, of love, of sacrificial power, and we tune in with that. Some people, you know, they visualize the causal body or a point of light above the head, or however you want to visualize that higher power or the feeling of it. That's what we want to use and be in contact with. So, in that kind of light that we can touch, imaginatively at least, we recognize the glamour to be dissipated. Every one of us can name, maybe our own name, it doesn't have to be what the Tibetan gave us, something we want to work on, some attitude, some desire, some love of something not quite necessary or good, something we want to work on that we consider maybe a glamour. We'll name it to ourselves. So doing this involves a willingness to cooperate with the soul in physical, astral, and mental ways in order to aid in the more technical work. And he asks us ponder on the implications of this sentence. we, the integrating personality, are going to be cooperating with the soul in three ways, through our physical, astral, and lower mental vehicle, in order to help this technical work of dissipating glamour to be accomplished. Now, being truthful with yourself, the glamour you're working with, how does it affect your daily life and your relationships? Then we have to undertake three methods of focusing, okay? So, we're going to focus the light of the mind and the light of matter in the mental vehicle, in the mental body. We're going to use the creative imagination in doing this. We're going to visualize the process of lifting up the light of matter and merging it with the light of mind, blending it and fusing it, all this in the mental vehicle. We visualize ourselves doing this. And now we're going to focus on the stage of meditation, which is going to bring the light of matter, the light of mind, and the light of the soul together. We'll visualize that. This is done upon the mental plane. So we're going to have the mind held steady in the light of the soul, and the light of matter will also be as if uplifted into the mental vehicle. All three lights together, blending and fusing as if in the mental vehicle. They are one now, one unified light. It's as if they become like a searchlight, ready to be turned in the needed direction. The three lights together as if they are a kind of search light, not yet beaming outward, but ready to be turned in the needed direction. So we further continue to prepare. We see the personality as if it's aligned. So we visualize the integrated personality. It's one functioning personality, body, astral nature, and lower mind. It's one unit. It's aligned. And we continue this by integrating the visualization of the soul with the personality. It's seen as one integrated, aligned unit. And how do we do this? DK advises, dedicate the personality to the soul and imagine that the soul accepts this dedication. So we do that. We think in this way, he tells us, we're going to produce a field of magnetic thought and realization in which all this work is to be done. Now we're going to focus upon the glamour. It's an individual glamour that we want to eradicate. He says it does not involve a consciousness of the glamour and its why and wherefore. Instead, it means a turning of the attention of the integrated soul personality to the astral plane and to the particular glamour. Now, we're not turning our attention to our own astral body. And he says this is really important because if we destroy the peculiar type of glamour with which we are dealing, we're also going to destroy our own share in that glamour, or whatever within us gives us contact with that glamour. So we're going to look out on the astral plane as if, and prepare ourselves for group service along this line. So we'll do that. He says it won't be easy, but we will do that, as if out to the astral plane, and we see or imagine this particular glamour. Our attention is, as a soul personality, our attention is there. Now the technique or formula. By an act of the creative imagination, we, the worker, endeavor to see and hear the soul, which is the source of light and power in the three worlds, breathing out the Om into the mind of the attentive, waiting personality. See and hear the soul breathing out the Om into the mind of the attentive, waiting personality. And there, the light and power of the soul is retained and held by the positive personality. A negative attitude is not desirable. So, the positive personality holds this light and power of the soul, which is breathed out into the mind on the Om. And this, of course, is empowering. Now, this retained light and power is combined with the dual light of the personality. Remember, the light of the mind and the light of matter, it's focused on the mental plane. So this light and power of the soul on the Om generates, along with the light of the personality, the dual light, an intense light, which is visualized as a searchlight of great brilliance and strength. A sphere of vivid, brilliant light. It's not yet radiating or projecting outwards, but it is a sphere of brilliant, vivid light. So when we have done that and we feel it's satisfactorily done, we focus all the will that we have behind this light. And the will creates a real fusion of the three lights. Our will behind the light of the soul and the dual light of the personality, our will behind that vivid, brilliant sphere of light. And of course, we'll get better and better at this as we practice, and it will go faster. We'll know what we're doing. Now follows the process wherein the glamour to be dissipated out there on the astral plane and the searchlight of the mind are brought into relationship by the power of thought. The glamour and its quality and the searchlight and its power are recognized to be as they are. And the effect or effects to be wrought about by that relationship are carefully thought out. We don't want to strengthen that already powerful glamour. We want to weaken the glamour so that it eventually can be dissipated. So we're bringing together the power of the searchlight and the quality of the glamour. And we think about the effect of doing that. So now, having as far as possible achieved the needed concentration, realization, and relationship, we, the aspirant, by an act of will, and through our creative imagination, we turn on the searchlight. And we see a vivid beam of light stream forth and pierce the glamour. A broad and brilliant beam pouring forth from the illumined mind onto the astral plane, and we must believe that it is so. And so we do that. And then comes an important and difficult phase of this work. We, the worker, are going to name the glamour and see it in process of dissipation. And we're going to use the sentences that Master DK gives us. We preserve our point of tension, which is focused, immovable will, and we say inaudibly to ourselves these three sentences: the power of the light prevents the appearance of the glamour, and we name it. Power of the light negates the quality of the glamour from affecting me. Power of the light destroys the life behind the glamour. The saying of these three sentences constitutes an affirmation of power and of purpose. And as we get more familiar with this meditation, we must enunciate these sentences at a point of tension, with the mind held in steadiness and with a positive orientation. Again, we will sound the sacred word with intent to produce what in occult parlance is called an act of penetration. So we're going to sound the Om, and we're going to watch through our creative imagination the following: a definite impact upon the glamour, penetrating the glamour and being absorbed by it. The light is penetrating and absorbed by it, and the light is dissipating that glamour slowly. And as the time goes by, it will never again be so powerful in one's life, and will eventually appear from one system altogether. So we'll use three ohms, one for each of these effects. Penetrating the glamour. Dissipating the glamour. And of course, as you do this yourself, you can determine how much time you spend, whether longer or shorter. Now we withdraw, consciously and deliberately, the beam of light from the area of glamour on the astral plane. We withdraw the beam of light and reorient ourselves upon the mental plane. And a word of wisdom here from DK. We don't look for immediate results. The glamour is too ancient in origin. But the formula is an occult specific formula. It will weaken the glamour. And it will vanish. And we will walk free of that particular hindrance and weaken it in the world as well. He says it may seem a very long formula, but he has purposefully detailed it to make clear to us what is intended to do. And after really learning it, maybe memorizing it, practicing it, we, the aspirant, will follow it well nigh automatically. And it can be reduced to a brief outline. We'll get to that point. But first, you know, work with it. Memorize the stages, practice it, of course. And this is dedicated work, and not without its risks, because the very thing, you know, you may somehow wrongly energize the very thing you want to dissipate. But follow with the creative imagination his instructions, and over time we have the faith that what he says will happen, and meanwhile we'll be contributing to the de-glamorization of the world problem, because, you know, whatever's in us is out there too, causing trouble to a lot of people and to humanity in general. Okay, friends, that's it. I kind of hesitate to break the mood and get into a lot of conversation on this. If you have questions you want to write, I'll remain open to those for a little while here. But otherwise, we will continue every Friday. Now, mostly at first with webinars, so that'll give us a chance to question and discuss, and then perhaps later with broadcasts. And we'll always, when we use broadcasts, whatever part of the ask process, you know, they'll all always be the same link. Okay, Brett, is that you?
Yes, we have a couple questions. Julie asks, please repeat the title of DK's book you are referring to.
Glamour, A World Problem. And you can find it, you know, if you get the, I really have to strongly recommend buying the CD-ROM, either from the New York headquarters or from the London headquarters. It has everything, all the books there. Excuse me. But if not, you know, the book itself, Glamour, A World Problem, wonderful book, his instructions to his disciples who were forming the group of trained observers whose task it was going to be a seed group to help dissipate world glamour. Took a lot of training. Glamour, A World Problem. Okay.
And Teresa says, so excellent and powerful. Thank you so much, Michael.
Okay, thanks, Teresa. And thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. Well, you know, this is a dedicated task, very necessary in today's world. It's all you have to do is look at the news, you know, and glamour is running everywhere. Illusory beliefs to which people apply their full desire body, and their love nature, so they become attached to those illusions. Something that humanity can do very well, I'm afraid, because it's a fourth-rate kingdom, and the fourth-rate drags its illusions down onto the astral plane and produces glamour out of them. Like a, you know, a heavy gray fog which keeps us from seeing things as they are. So the word dissipating is a very good word, just like you would dissipate the clouds. The sun shines through and the clouds vanish, and reality then is what is perceived. It's going to take a while for us all to work on that, of course. Okay, friends, then tomorrow night, if you're interested, we continue with the Ask, Seek, and Knock work. And we're going to be looking at the country Bangladesh. With so many of us, you know, are from Western countries. We are, the majority are not from the countries that are having the least light and the most difficulty. So we have to do what we can to help invoke the souls of those nations. That's what this part of the ask process is all about. So we'll bring that to you tomorrow and every Saturday for the time being. We may switch the days around just a little bit. But okay, then that's going to be our work for today, or tonight, or whatever it is for you, and I appreciate very much your attendance, and maybe we have to try to help Lin Gyap. There's something wrong there. He's trying to tune in, and it's not working. I don't know. We can get his email and see what's going on.
Michael?
Yes.
This is Olivia.
Olivia, please go ahead.
Can we conclude with an om?
Oh, you don't like my cough. That's not such a great win end, is it? Always seal the work with an om, yes. Yes, let's do that. Matter of fact, let's have three of them, you know. One for the each one of the vehicles that has to be permeated by the soul. Physical first, huh? No, mental first, excuse me, the work our way down. Thank you, everyone, and we'll get this up on the Makara network shortly if you want to review anything that we've done together or want to use the recording of the outline for your own purposes. Okay, thank you very much for attending, and we'll be seeing you in this ask process, and then hopefully next Friday night you'll be able to join us, and Wednesday for Triangles, Thursday Reappearance of the Christ, Friday Glamour, Saturday Invoking the Soul of Nations, Sunday the Invocation of Money for Hierarchical Purposes, and maybe some other meditations thrown in along the way. So Tuya, Olivia, and I thank you for participating. Bye-bye for now.